December 21, 2021. It's a Walk from Pedro show.
What prompted Pharaoh to take out the alto? Was that to get away from the tenor sound?
I don't know. This
is talking over with him.
No, this is something he wanted to do, and at about the same time, I decided I wanted to get one. So we both got it.
I haven't heard you play the alto yet. Do you play it much?
I played it in Japan. I played it in Frisco a little bit. But I've had a little trouble on with the intonation of it. It's a Japanese make that they new thing they're trying out, so they gave us these horns to try. And mine has to be adjusted at certain points where they're not quite in tune, so I don't play it, but I like it.
Thank you.
What for Pedro show? Happy Tuesday, the day after the B-Day.
For what?
Started with John Coltrane talking to Frank Kosky in November 66 about the alto sax.
Like why Pharaoh went to the alto, like he would know, but maybe he makes some guesses.
And then we had Thomas DiMuzio, Wobbly, and Alan Curtis, Third Eye Moon. Because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me again 5 months later. Thomas DiMuzio, welcome aboard, Tom, again.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here, and happy birthday, man.
Oh, we're most kind, truly. Let me ask you, what's been going on in the past 5 months?
Well, a lot, man. You know, I've had like 5 releases in the last year, which is kind of, you know, beyond my scope. But it all kind of worked out that way. A lot of things, you know, in the can that finally, you know, see the light of day. But there have been some solo releases and this record with Wobbly and Alan Cortes.
Oh, is that what Third Eye Moon was from?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that just came out.
Yeah, tell me about this project.
Yeah, well, Wobbly and I have been, you know, buddies and playing music for 25 years.
Yeah.
Alan is from Argentina, and he comes through town every now and then. And we played maybe, I guess it was 2005, he played a gig, and we were on the same bill, and we got together and made some music. And from there, we've kind of been collaborating ever since. We had a record that came out maybe 5 years ago called Monk Style or Scream, and that was our first kind of official release. And then Alan came through town a couple years ago, and we played a gig as a trio with Wobbly and Alan and myself. And we recorded it, we did some studio works, and that's what wound up on this record.
Okay. So you had the material sitting around, then you had to edit and mix and stuff?
Exactly. You know, it's kind of funny, the improvs that we did, you know, when we play live, the improvs can go on, you know, 30, 40 minutes.
Sure.
But when we were in the studio, we were busting out these, like, short little ditties. 5 minutes here, you know, 6 minutes there. So the pieces kind of edited themselves. Although we wound up mixing and, you know, getting everything, you know, as finely tuned as we wanted.
What about the dynamic, not playing in front of people?
Well, that's a weird thing, definitely. I mean, improvising in the studio is a strange dynamic.
Yeah.
For sure. There's nothing to feed back on, you know, no energy.
You know what's even stranger? But I've tried, like, pretending the dude's there. He just sent me a file, right? But I pretend like he's in the room and I go for the first take.
That's like the modern approach. I mean, everybody's doing that now. It's tough to be in the same room with people. I've had a couple projects where I've never been in the same room with.
Me too. You know, but you know what? The situation, you get dealt a hand, right? So we play it the best we can.
That's right.
You know, what you gave me this music, Ready Box, Monsters. I want to play that. And,
yeah.
You can talk about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. When it's all too much to take, I'm at capacity. A fail system sings on the background TV, to my shotgun mouth and apathy. I need reminders of the love I have. I need reminders, good or bad. I tilt my chin up in photographs, a subtle way to reinvent the past. With a head so beat and drained, I'm running on empty. As the world collapses with complacency, to knee-jerk takes and fantasy. I need reminders of the love I have. I need reminders, good or bad. I tilt my chin up in photographs, a subtle way to reinvent the past. I talk myself out of myself when I'm overwhelmed. Is there a way to feel free without being someone else? I need reminders of the love I have. I need reminders, good or bad. I tilt my chin up in photographs, a subtle way to reinvent the past. I talk myself out of myself when I'm overwhelmed. Is there a way to feel free without being someone else? I need reminders, good or bad. I need reminders of the love I have.
Toujours. dit des choses que j'aurais pas dû. J'aurais mieux fait de les garder pour moi. J'avais tort, je l'admets. J'avais tort.
What? Come on up. Scary. Yeah. Thank you.
I'll show that chunky music. Started off with Ready Box doing Monsters. Then brand new from Model Home, DC Arias. Got a great new album. Six piece with Mumbo Sauce on everything. Kato Hideki with his new album, a tune called Tolerance, Primitive Ignorant. This is brand new. Back from the Dead, Puppet Midnight out of England with Reminders. Brand new from Rapun, Komat. New from Zone Infini, Atara Voyor. Excuse me, sorry French people. Osaka Camping with Jay Regard and Are. Some more destruction, I don't mean to. Pardon. This is from a comp where they celebrate the TV personality, that kind of comedy, part-time punks, that band without any. I know where Sid Vicious lives. No, Sid Barrett, Viv Cornham, and Al Margolis with Skyline Sunset 3. Brand new from Niagara, Roman numeral 8. Also new from Equations Collective, Cut 3.4. Yeah, a lot of people are making music. Why not?
Fantastic.
Right? Starts raining. Lemons? We become lemonade makers. Agnes Steck, Brother Chris out of Texas with Torture Town. It's New Town. Where is he now? Belmont. And then In Circles, Dream Logic, Real Fear. This is from Sam, upstate New York. And finally, Cracking the Surface. Another prod's yours with Stacking Infinities. So enlighten me to Ready Box and Cracking the Surface.
Sure, man. Those are two projects that we actually recorded at Fantasy Studios in Berkeley before went belly up, sadly.
I know, but it's a studio Creedence built, but never got to record there.
Seriously, yeah, that's right. It was a beautiful studio. They had echo chambers and, so the echo on these recordings is live, real echo, like from a garage.
I gotta tell you, my Casa Hanzo here, my organ man, Pete Mazich, he put in, there's no plug in that sounds like these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
that's
the punch, the phase, there's something about a hallway with a speaker in one end and a mic on the other.
Oh yeah, man, you can't emulate that. You know, it's the real deal. And, the project Ready Box is a duo with Philip Greenleaf, saxophonist extraordinaire, musician extraordinaire.
I think I got to play with him. He was with somebody else, maybe, Scott Amendola on the drums.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Opened up for MSSV and Mike Baghetta in Oaktown. Yeah, okay.
Oh, fantastic. I'm surprised I wasn't there, man. Yeah, Philip is great. We have this thing, this duo. It's kind of like a live electroacoustic music concrete thing where I do my live sampling with Philip's horn and extended techniques. You know, this guy can circular breathe for hours.
Right.
And he also just has such a cool approach to the saxophone, you know, where, you know, he's getting three different sounds out of it.
The overblow, yeah, John Coltrane.
Fantastic. You know, he'll even like rub his mouthpiece on the metal, you know, and like that's a third sound or a fourth sound that just like adds to the whole, you know, texture. And so I'm in heaven. I'm able to like pull these sounds from him, you know, through my rig and do this complete manipulation to take it to these other levels, you know.
Sure.
A lot of the stuff that I like to do is try to turn things that were formerly offline and bring them online, you know, like music concrete.
Yeah.
50s. That was just labor intensive cutting tape, you know.
Absolutely.
Months, if not, you know, longer, you know, to make some of these pieces. It was very intense. You might
think of the lady in England, Delia Derbyshire.
Yeah, absolutely. And the guys in France, Pierre Henry.
Oh, yeah.
Just amazing stuff. And so to be able to bring some of that stuff to a real-time platform, an improvisation platform, is just, you know, mind-bending for me. And some of the technology out there that facilitates this, you know, we're running with that, and that's kind of what ReadyBox is. We do all this stuff live. So even at Fantasy Studios, that the whole session was recorded live, and we've got a record in the can, and I think all but one track remains live. One of them we kind of did a lot of post-production and messed around with stuff, but for the most part, it's just in the moment, you know?
Sure, sure. And Cracking the Surface?
That is a project with Tom Nunn and David Michalak and Scott Looney. And I don't know if you know Tom Nunn's work, but he's amazing. He builds his own instruments. He has this thing called the Scatchbox, and it's the most simple thing. It's basically a little cardboard box with things glued on it, like combs and washers and sandpaper and, you know, little pieces of wood or whatever. And he plays this thing, he plays it with comb. And you would not believe the sounds that come out of this thing. It's incredible. And Tom's a master improviser, as are the other guys in the band. And so we did another thing at Fantasy where we brought all Tom's instruments out, mostly the cardboard instruments, the scratch boxes and the scratch plates. And we just kind of did our thing. And I also employed or deployed the live sampling in that project. So I was able to take these sounds from the scratch pads or scratch boxes and really, you know, put them through the ringer, you know, transpose them down a couple octaves and make them real big and fat. And we're all improvising to this, and it's all being spit back to everybody. And, you know, we're all reacting to it. Kind of the funny thing about
you went first and they reacted to that.
We're all going at the same time.
Oh, okay.
The weird thing about the live sampling is my sounds are dependent on their sounds. So if they stop playing, my sounds eventually peter out and, you know, stop cascading through the system. But what's coming out of my rig might not sound anything like what's happening in real time. So it's kind of wild. It's like an instrument based on everybody else's sound, but then again, it's not, but it still is because of my sound sources, aka the other musicians,
right,
playing, then my sound just dissipates away. You know, when I'm doing the live sampling thing exclusively, you know, I might have like a modular rig or something, you know, along with that, so I could supplement that. But okay, that's essentially the gist of both of those projects. They're my contribution is more of a live sampling thing where I'm spitting back reality right into everybody.
It's kind of like the sound man at a gig, but like you're shaping the big picture, but it's dynamic. That shaping is part of how it's happening.
It's an instrument.
Yeah.
It's a play. It took me a long time to get to this point. You know, these samplers that started in the early 80s, you know, that evolved through the 90s, et cetera, for one, I'm using a Kurzweil sampler to do this live sampling, and it wasn't designed to do it. I kind of like fudged it just by, you know, discovering things and experimenting with this. And next thing you know, I'm able to play the keys on this thing and transpose real time.
Wow.
You know, I can slow down real time. You know, you can always slow down real time. You can't speed up real time, otherwise you have a time machine. But when you do speed up, you know, if you play above the original notes or sound, it spits out something from the previous buffer. So you can still play things pitched up, but it's kind of a sound from maybe 15 seconds ago rather than what's happening exactly now.
Right, takes time to process.
The cool thing about this sampler, as soon as you hit a key, it takes now and immediately starts transposing it.
Wow.
And, you know, you've got polyphony on the keyboard, so you can multiply now.
Right.
You know, you can process now. You know, you've got all this amazing capability to manipulate sound in real time. And I do feel that it's at a level of like a real instrument. You know, I feel like I'm playing a real instrument now. And it's taken a long time to get to that point. Like this plastic machine with the plastic keys or whatever, you know, has enough nuance where I feel comfortable with somebody that, you know, is playing something that's a real instrument.
Yeah, Yeah. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, 7:21, 2021, the Dishwat Pedro Show. Special guest, Thomas DiMuzio. Hold tight for hour two. December 21, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
Love is love is universal.
You see, we're dealing in opposites here. Everything's in reverse, you might say.
Sounds that may not even be possible.
Of love, and the ocean of love flows in the waves of life.
Pedro Show start off the second hour. Thomas DiMuzio, the BC's Seeds, the Mind's Eye, Delirium Amongst Focus. Thomas DiMuzio. Kings of Feedback after that with Whispers. Yeah. Kind of inventor word, huh? Then Bowl Pain. Bowl in Slovenian means pain in English. Live at Club Cocud Split 2015, Trobakova, Krishna Pesci. And finally, another collab. Thomas DiMuzio, Dan Burke, and Rick Reed. The number you have reached. So first, this thing under your own name.
Yeah.
Enlighten us.
A piece that I did for a compilation that my good friend Greg Bilski put out. I went to high school with this guy. He's still making music. I'm still making music. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That piece was kind of odd, man. I was in the studio just kind of like messing around, and a bee flew into my studio. And I wound up capturing it in a little jar, and I put a little piece of paper over the jar with a contact mic on top of the paper. And I recorded the bee making a percussive orchestra, you know, basically scratching at that paper, trying to get out of the its little glass cell.
No prison.
No bees were hurt in the making of this piece, of course.
That's good to know. And now this other collab with Dan Burke and Rick Reed.
Yeah, that is from a record that came out about a year ago called Balance. And during the pandemic, man, you know, nobody was playing shows. And I recorded all my shows, you know, I try to record all my shows. So I kind of went through a mountain of material and compiled a 3-CD record called Balance, where one record, what the first CD is, are duos from the last 10 years, live shows from the last 10 years. And then there's the second are trios, and the third are combos. And the piece with Rick and Dan is on the trio. It's just, you know, it's a live recording. We improvised, I think, in Oakland. And that is just an excerpt from our improv. And all of us were using Buchla modular systems for that particular performance. Rick Reed's from Austin, and Dan is from Illusion of Safety, and he's based in Chicago. And so we all got together and made that thing happen. I mean, it's kind of typical of most of my shows where, you know, I like to collaborate with other folks. So I may be doing a solo set here, but, you know, if we have time, we're going to try to do a little collaborative thing as well. Maybe crossfade between two sets, you know, where maybe I start playing and then we both start playing, or, you know, the other collaborator starts playing and, you know, we crossfade and then they go into a solo set, you know, those kinds of things. I just love to do that. And when I'm documenting all these performances, it's kind of nice to be able to, you know, compile them and release them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you gave me some more like, I guess, Man Alone stuff. This Abject Light, I want to play that, okay?
Sure.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Walk for Pedro show, that chunk of music start off. Thomas DiMuzio with the Abject Light. Mold Omen Al Balmore with Knife in the Cape Prison. Ray Shin, Spaz Odyssey. And finally, Thomas DiMuzio again with Lush Common Memories. Loose Cracking Mosaics. Now, was this sort of like the bead? Did some coincidence happen, some event?
with the life changing ministries, lush calming memories.
Yeah. Because again, with the thing in the parentheses, the parenthetical. So
yes, that's me going crazy with titles. I think titles are important. With improvised music, you don't know what the hell you're doing. You know, it just comes out. So
yeah.
I try to title things and make them feel like they meant something after the fact.
Right, you never do a title first, right?
Never. Rarely. I mean, rarely do I do a themed improv, but it happens. But LCM, man, that is a place in Oakland that is kind of like a noise church or a noise sanctuary. It's Angela Edwards, a.k.a. Sharky Face, basically runs this place. It's her house and her performance venue. And there have been countless shows there. And so LCM is a compilation of, I think, 6 shows that I've played there through the years. And, I'm a recent convert to modular synthesis, and I'm loving it. I'm so thankful that I've discovered it late in life. But these performances from LCM, the record, Lush Calming Memories, etc., are all early Buchla kind of forays. And so I was able to compile all those together, and I just ran with the LCM thing, you know.
Oh, loose, the acronym, right? Loose Cracking yeah. Mosaics.
Everything is LCM. Everything.
Right. Okay, I get it. You gave me the key to the lock.
That's right. It's the key.
Okay. And Abject Light.
That was for a compilation, I think it's called Rogue Pulse Gravity, that was put out by Ratskin Records about 5 years ago. And I think it was like a 10 CD compilation, something crazy.
Wow, like a box set.
A massive box set, yeah. And that piece is a fairly political piece of mine. Not just about Black Lives Matter, but, just kind of citing, what's wrong with our world and just giving one example of that.
So did you premeditate that? Or did,
I did, came out of a, yes.
You did.
Yes. I that's one of the rare pieces where I did do an improv thinking, of this unfortunate situation, and that's what came out. And I actually used some unfortunate audio that was captured of of someone dying. So it's a heavy piece for me.
Yeah. But sometimes, not sometimes, a lot of times, that's what music and arts are for.
Expressing yourself.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour. December 21, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show special guest, Thomas DiMuzio. Hold tight for hour 3. December 21, 2021, it's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro Show. We'll be right back. Walk for Pedro show started the third hour off of the duet. Thomas DiMuzio and Marcia Bassett with Pork Dead, Signal Remamp. Then Healers, The 12th Day of Christmas. I know it's less than 12, but fuck it. Thank you, Jamie. And then finally, Thomas DiMuzio, part two of Listing Listless, kind of boat song. Tell me about the duet.
Yeah, Marcia Bassett. She is amazing. She also plays a Buchla system, a modular synthesizer. And Marcia played my radio show 5 or so years ago. I used to have a show on KPFA called Frequency Modulation Radio. It's a 3-hour show, and I'd have a couple guests on each episode. And we'd basically just play in the studio live. The first artist would have an hour, the second artist would have an hour, and then we'd all play together for the third hour.
Oh, wow. I should tell the listeners, KPFA was the first of the Pacifica station.
And
we got the second one down here, KPFK.
Yes,
and
indeed.
In the 70s, when I was a teenager, Carl Stone had a show.
Yes.
Called The Imaginary Landscape. And it was a show, I don't know who hosted it right before him, called Tesseract, or after. And that was my turn on to experimental music.
That's fantastic. I mean, Carl also hosted a show at KPFA when he was living up here called Ears Wide Open. And I think that was the first time I played on the station on Carl's show. So, KPFA, that was just what a great station. They're monumental for experimental radio and pushing the format, with the Negative Lands show and the Church of the Subgenius and all these other shows, Carl's show, et cetera. And mine got canceled, but, I was on there for about 3 years, and I got 40-plus episodes. In fact, they're all online on Bandcamp if you want to search Frequency Modulation Radio.
That's great.
But, that's where I met Marcia. And so we kind of connected, and when we played a few years later at the End Times Festival in Brooklyn, we decided to do a recording session during that weekend. And that's what became Losing Circles, the collaboration that we came out with on her label, U Records.
Okay. And we're talking about Portent, of course. But
yes.
List and Listless.
That is, that's me in my studio, man, playing around with my Buchlas. It's kind of weird, man. You mentioned about improvising in a studio. It's a weird thing. You don't have anything to feed off of.
Right, right. No bounce back.
Yeah. And, so when I play live, I'm taking the tools of the studio and trying to manipulate them as a musical instrument. I'm stacking things, I'm layering things, I'm looping things in real time, and, trying to build stuff, like take improvisation to a compositional level, and a real-time compositional level.
Right.
So with the pandemic and everything and not playing shows, maybe a year into this, I was just kind of jonesing and came up with a strange philosophy that I'm packaging as calling sculpting electric. And what I like to do is build an elaborate patch across these modular systems, one that might take a couple days to build, something very intricate.
Whoa.
Where this might be triggering that. And
sure.
So the energy that I'm playing with here in the studio, I'm interacting with a machine, with electricity.
Yeah.
And so the premise of this is to try to set something up and then sit down and make it happen. And make it happen in real time and try to make peace without relying on loops and overdubs and things like that. So that was kind of the gist of Listing Listless. And I've been busting out, other things along this line too, using that same philosophy, just trying to it's like these electronic symphonies that come out of these machines are just, they're very inspiring.
Sure, sure, yeah, incredible stuff.
And so even though you are improvising, this machine is, you're interacting with this machine. It's wild. And, maybe it's a weird excuse for not being able to play with people for so long. But it definitely got me, down that road. And it's a cool road. It's a great thing to explore. And with these machines being so intricate, it's nice to actually patch something together, you know, that has, I don't know, repercussions beyond just, you know, twisting a knob or something.
Sound architect.
Big time. Yeah. You know?
Here's another prod, Dimmer.
Dimmer, yeah. 7-inch tape. So that's a lot of leeway to play around with. And he's just got this stuff so dialed in. He's turned it into a musical instrument. And what we do, again, is this live sampling thing where he's sampling me with his recorder and I'm sampling him through my whole digital music concrete thing. And it becomes this weird recursive loop. And we work a lot with feedback and have these techniques that we've kind of evolved through the years. And we just came out with a new record on Death Bomb Arc, and it's called Midrem, another play on Dimmer, which is a play on D'Amuzio Hammer. But yeah, the new record, man, I'm really happy with it. It's all about dream states. And, you know, we hope that this stuff just takes you away. It's long form, you know, weird kind of bubbling.
Percolating.
Percolating. Yeah. Improv. Yeah,
I should tell the listeners, that was Dimmer, and Tom was enlightening us to the Prodigy's fundamentals. Phase 4, Midrem, REM, probably, Rapid Eye Movement, Paradox of Paralysis. Then we had Sam Locke Ward featured Bob Fay with Blind Eye of the Sniveling Coward. And finally, Thomas D'Amuzio, Joseph Hammer, and Rick Potts. It's up my pick, people, because I needed one more. Fluorescent Brown. And Rick Potts is going to be on the show next week again.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Incredible cats. How did you end up meeting them?
Dude, I played a show with Chris Cutler in L.A. at Spaceland in 99, maybe. And a lot of the guys from LAFMS were also on the bill.
Oh, Tom Rechion.
Absolutely. Tom was on the bill.
Incredible guy.
On the bill.
He was the drummer man in BP.
He's amazing, man. He's
into Oregon now, right?
He's into everything, man. That guy's like a renaissance man.
He ended up a photographer. Yeah, incredible. L.A. Free Music Society people.
Yeah, so I met that crew that night. I saw Joseph on stage playing with Solid Eye with that, you know, recorder that I mentioned. And when I walked up afterwards and checked out his rig, one thing really got me. There was a little beat up piece of wood with a splicing block on it, a tape measure, and a stopwatch. And I'm like, with this guy, I need to know this guy.
That's some old-timey.
And you know, Don Bowles was there that night. It was just fantastic, you know, to like, you know, meet so many great players. And those relationships have stuck, you know, for 25 years now, 23, 24 years now.
Nothing like it. People ask me about the old days. I say it was about people, sort of the new days. Even if we got to be kind of in our separate chambers.
Absolutely,
what
man.
What do you got planned next now, Tom?
Plan next? Well, I got to get, Cracking the Surface and Ready Box out. Right. We're trying to find a label for those projects. I'm also working on some new solo stuff. And another project that's really got me excited is a thing with Soraya and Voice of I.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know either of these projects, but Soraya, oh my God, this guy is insane. I mean, Enrique, man, he is like one of the greatest Tuvan throat singers around.
Yeah.
And he comes from a modular synthesis background. So he applies these non-traditional techniques with his voice where you'd swear there are filters modulating, you know, and an LFO or something modulating his voice rather, you know, than these classic techniques, you know, of tube and throat singing.
Right, before there was ever electronics or anything.
That's right. And it's so electronic sounding. It's beautiful. I mastered his record earlier this year and loved it and was blown away. It was one of these projects that's hard to master because the music's so damn good.
Yeah,
it's
distracting.
You know,
sure.
But I saw him play. It was actually the first show that I saw after, you know, 18 months of not seeing anything. And I was knocked out, man. I was like, I thought a lot of this was studio trickery and he did it all right there in front of me. And I was, you know, 6 feet away. I thought I was just, I didn't know what I was witnessing. It was beautiful.
Wow.
So I pushed him afterwards and we're talking and he mentioned he was working with Voice of I, Jim Wilson and Bonnie McNairn. And I'm like, hey, you know, I've worked with those guys. We have a record. We should all do something, you know? So they brought me into the project and now I'm trying to actually, you know, contribute something of merit. But yeah, I'm working on some tracks for that and I'm really excited by it. It's going to be some deep, deep, expansive, drone work.
Oh, that's great, man. When you get it, will you come come back on the show and we can listen to it and talk about it.
You got it, man. Thank you so much, Mike.
Absolutely, Tom. Every time, anytime. People, it's been the December 21, 2021 edition of Pedro Show. Keep you powdered.